How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
This is quarterback Will Levis, and you're listening to the Best Bell Fantasy Podcast.
Hey, hey. Really, the only thing that gonna be normal is distribution. Normal folks gonna infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bell, I'm the best best tail. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bell, I'm the best best tail. Into the next world.
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder, and joining me tonight, JD from the GOAT District. Welcome on in. Happy to have you. And it's NFL Combine. What are you excited about looking forward in the Combine here, JD?
Yeah, this year is interesting. Thanks for having me, by the way. We started talking a bit before this time of year is one of my favorite times. It's hard to say my favorite because, you know, you get certain times of the year and you're like, this is my favorite. But I mean, look, we're best ball degens, right? So what time better than this? And there's that kind of melt between best ball and dynasty this time of year. And the combine plays a big part of that, right? Because we start drafting. We did one of the first drafts, I believe it was still January, the hard way draft. And since then, you're trying to get that edge, right? And these rookies are a part of that, especially later on in the drafts. So it's always exciting to see what's going to come out of the combine, the surprises. But this year, it's especially interesting, the intricacies of the quarterbacks, the first pick overall with Chicago. What are they going to do? Just, you know, keep Justin Fields, trade him. There's so many different angles this year that it's almost a drama. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. The amount of quarterback circus, you know, in circulation that we could have. Carson Wentz just released, what was it, yesterday?
Yep.
I think he lands, you know, somewhere, right? And to compete for a spot, is there a place that you think Carson Wentz could land and be fantasy relevant? Because he was top five in quarterback rate of top 5 weeks last year, as crazy as it sounds.
So you're not saying as a starter, you're saying as a backup, or you think he actually has a spot as a starter?
I mean, competing for a starting
spot. Like a bridge quarterback somewhere?
Possible. Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz.
Maybe in one of these like Carolinas or Vegas, you know, if they don't necessarily get their guy, maybe they miss on the car. Rodgers sweepstakes and not necessarily get their rookie, or maybe find out the rookie's not necessarily ready to go right off the bat. We've seen this often where teams get the backup plan ahead of time before they go into the rookie draft, because again, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what team's going to pop up ahead of you and take your guy. So again, the quarterback position this year is just, there's so many different dynamics going on.
Awesome. Well, we've got Jose jumping in the comments. Go District in the house, representing. Nice. Awesome. And 1912 Fantasy. Oh, so kind. So kind. Looking forward to the show. Absolutely.
Love 1912. Love 1912.
We've got a great show for you tonight, because we're going to hop into a best ball draft here in just a moment. And if you haven't already drafted on Drafters Fantasy, check it out, drafters.com. Use the promo code best, BEST, for an extra $20 off a first time, or extra $20 for a first time deposit on this website. And they have $5 early NFL best ball championship tournament here, $50,000 in total prizes. And the nice thing, JD, is that we can play on it, you know, here in Michigan. And I think you're in Canada, right?
Yeah, man. I'm just across the pond here from, from you. And we went from like not having very limited best ball, like, you know, a decade ago, the MFL 10s, to like all these options, to now just government restrictions with sports betting. I imagine it's similar with you guys in Michigan, but has limited the best ball options for us up here. So it's basically down to the FFPC and drafters.
Yeah, FFPC is available here in Michigan. Underdog is not available here in Michigan. The best ball 10s, I tried to get some drafts in, and those did not work here in Michigan. So it's hit or miss depending upon the particular site that you're trying to play, either, you know, best ball or even like DFS. So hopefully we can get that squared away, Underdog. You know, we've been I've been tweeting at him for a year now, but there we go. This room is almost full. We've got 10 in the room. If you want to jump in, it's just $5. And hey, if you use that promo code BEST, that gives you not one, but four free entries to this tournament. So make sure you use that promo code. Jump in. It's going to be a lot of fun. JD, how many drafts have you done so far on Drafters this offseason?
So far, I've got 12 complete. I've got four slow ones that are still going.
Okay. Yeah, this is number five for me. I've got one slow one going.
Nice. Do you find you do more live, slow? What's your, do you have a preference?
I prefer doing the faster ones. The slow ones are just so suboptimal. And like there's so many like picks that I'm like, oh man, I keep getting sniped. Like drafters are obviously sharper. It makes sense. You know, you're not toilet drafting. You're not competing against those who are inebriated or anything like that. But
toilet drafting, I like that.
You know, but that's the reality. And so, you know, it's suboptimal. Also, these live stream types of drafts are suboptimal. I think it was Justin Herzig who came on Twitter a couple weeks ago, or maybe he was doing a reflection in January, February. And he said that the live stream drafts that he did were like zero, like negative EV, like significantly negative EV compared to his fast drafts that he was doing like behind, you know, behind the closet, you know. So
yeah,
whatever, nevertheless.
Well, especially with the like a lot of the drafts I did, the ADPs weren't set yet, the hard way.
Yes.
On the FFPC we did another one on the FFWC with a bunch of sharks like Bill Amuzio, you know, a bunch of those guys were on there. Fantasy Mojo I think was on there, and there was zero ADP. Like we were literally just drafting, you know, just grabbing
cold knuckles almost.
Yeah, it pretty much like the bare knuckle type of draft, which is fun, right? Which is totally fun. You're kind of setting the ADP, but you know, as you go and you that'll obviously adjust and change as we get to see through it. And that's part of the fun of these best balls, man. It just keeps you in the loop with the ADPs.
Yeah, about a month ago, JD, I was able to get Rashid Shaheed at wide receiver 96 in the FFPC.
Wow.
Like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. There's some nice values. There's some really nice values. Now you're starting to see stuff settle a bit more, but things like the combine, the rookie hype and all that, free agency will definitely mess that up for us just enough to make it interesting.
Are there any rookies that you're really hyped for right now? That just like you, doesn't matter what they do at the combine. You're like truther right now. This is JD's guy.
Yeah. The draft. I'm kind of slow getting into them, like super deep into the rookies. Okay. So just from, again, just it's best balls, right? You're in the best ball. You're on the clock in the slow drafts. You get to look a lot of these guys up and do your research at that time. We're lucky in the GOAT district. We have a lot of very savvy players. We get guys like Matt Hicks, John Lobb, who are in the trenches when it comes to college and a lot of these rookies. So I get a lot of my information from, you know, the savants, and then collect that information and then make my own kind of, you know, decisions on these guys. But guys that I started liking a lot in these drafts, especially they go super late, guy like Rashee Rice, curious to see how he does, a bigger guy. Again, a lot of these guys depends how they're going to do in the combine, right? Anthony Richardson, I mean, any fantasy guy is going to like what this guy has to offer, especially if you can give us some good numbers at the combine. And who knows, landing spot. I mean, we talked about these quarterbacks. The other interesting thing is the musical chairs with them. We have no idea, as much as we think they're going to be in the top, you know, whatever it is, 10 picks, we don't know what teams, which guys are going to end up on. Do you have a preference as to where these young guys go?
I think that the natural fit right now is Bryce Young still goes to Houston. I think the Bears trade that pick away, and I think that some team is going to fall in love with Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. And we've seen Richardson's line movement to the 101 just go significantly. I think he went from, I don't know the exact number, but it was like plus 1700 to like plus 700 to be the number one pick overall. And I think that there's some team that's going to fall in love with one of these prospects. My hope is that our friend of the podcast, Will Levis, I asked him a year ago, actually. And
Yeah. That's so cool.
So that was good. But nevertheless, he, I hope that he, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. I want him to fall. I want him to fall to a place that can develop him, because there are some really strong traits that he's shown. He's got a strong arm, he's got mobility, but there are concerns and red flags that need to be coached out of him. And I think putting him on a loser team right off the bat, where he needs to be the starter day one, that's going to be a major inhibitor to his growth. So that's the problem though, is he's being mocked to like the Colts at 4. He's being mocked to the Raiders at like 6 or 7, wherever the Raiders are. Like, so that's the problem, is that he's being mocked as though he's going to start right away. And I don't think that's the right thing for him developmentally.
And that's what happens because of this, you know, the position, the importance of it. These teams, like, look at Chicago, they've never had the first pick overall, right? So they really cannot mess this up. Like, I mean, it almost sucks that they're in this position. It's great to be in the position because they have options, but it's almost like too many options, too many ways you can also make the wrong decision. And it's, you know, it's the franchise's future are in the hands right now of this management. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing, if they end up trading down like everyone wants them to do, or most people want them to do. And then you hear the one-offs. Are you in the camp of trading Fields, keeping Fields? How do you feel Chicago should go?
I think Chicago should keep Fields. He was one of the best passers in college football when he was coming out. And I don't think that like goes away. I think that Matt Nagy, frankly, you know, ruined him for a year. And we saw him not have any weapons last year and be forced to do things that he's just not been practicing. Like, if we remember at the beginning of the year, he had like 4 games where he threw 20 or fewer passes. Like, the coaching staff just didn't trust him to throw the ball, because who's he going to throw the ball to? Like, nobody. No, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney. So I think that those are the concerns, is that Chicago needs so much, they can't afford to not liquidate that first pick and then maybe liquidate again. You know, like, I would be in favor of double liquidation if I'm the Bears. Yeah. All right. We are at 11. So if you haven't jumped in, if you've just been passively watching and you haven't jumped into the Drafters $5 early NFL best ball championship room, get in here, guys. We are just about to start. We've JD's getting sick of me talking about the Chicago Bears, but 1912, the Packers seem intent on dealing Rodgers? What teams do you feel likely he lands on, and what is the compensation? I think if you're the Packers, you need to get a first-round pick. Plus, Mike, I don't know if teams will pay that, but that's what you need back.
And he has a no trade, doesn't he? So it's mm-hmm. it's like it's limited, man. It's like the Jets, Vegas,
and the Raiders, yeah.
Tennessee are probably the three.
Yeah, I don't know if Tennessee would. Yeah, the Jets would be probably the best spot for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean they definitely have the best offensive pieces.
And they've got a decent enough offensive line. They've got a good and a rising, elevating defense. I think there are pieces there. It's just that there was a stat I saw on Twitter, a 95 off-target passes last year. Rodgers had 60, and that was like the most among all like quarterback positions. Rodgers had the 10th fewest with like 65. So, yeah, Rodgers is still good. He was just had a broken thumb last year.
I don't see him not playing this year. I always figured he would play. The ego's, you know, still there. He still wants to compete, man. I'm just after listening to, you know, some of the press conferences today, it's changed my mind a little bit. Like I'm not as, oh, he's for sure going back to Green Bay. I know you're a big Green Bay guy, but I don't know that he retires there anymore.
We'll see. The Packers do like Jordan Love. And what is your take on Jordan Love? Is he good? Is he a bust? Has he finally ascended?
It's same him and Lance, right? Though it's like the million-dollar questions for both quarterbacks and both franchises. It's such a weird situation to be in. And then you see in San Fran, they just work around it, right? Will right. Green Bay be able to work around it? They bring Aaron Jones back. So, you know, the running game is going to be solid with AJ Dillon there. The team as a whole is definitely, they're always a competitive team. Most seasons we started seeing weapons finally with Watson, you know, start to develop. Dubs looked pretty good. You know, he's obviously dealt with injuries, but he came back. He was pretty good for like that, you know, wide receiver three role. The tight end, I thought, what's his face? Tanyan would give us a bit more last year just because we had seen him and Rodgers have that rapport. So yeah, I got a little burn there.
Coming off the ACL.
That's right. But now free agent, right? So he's pretty much gone. Maybe that's a place that might go tight end in this draft with all the tight ends, with some, you know, that seems to be pretty juicy at the tight end position this year. So I could see Green Bay going there. But with Jordan Love, I mean, I think that if you do believe in either Trey Lance or Love, I think now is the time to go get him. Now is the time to be drafting him because, you know, once these things settle and we know the answers to the mysteries, then the values and the opportunities disappear. Right. So yeah. You kind of almost have to make that decision now and decide, you know, how you want to approach it. Cause the opportunities will be gone really quick. As soon as the decision's made, I don't know how quick Rodgers' decision. It's funny how today they're like, we'd like to know before free agency. Yeah. You think?
Yeah, 60 million reasons not to retire. Okay, I didn't know we were going to do this, but trivia, JD. Where did Jordan Love rank in PFF passer grade in 2022 among all quarterbacks?
Oh, man. I have no idea. I can't even guess. I have no idea.
Would it surprise you that he was top 9?
No way. Wow. Yeah, that would surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, extremely limited sample.
Well, that's the thing. That's why it's like it's so hard because it's what did he play? I don't remember.
Yeah, only 21 attempts. Only 21 attempts in four games. Yeah. Okay. So, look, I would rather have that, though, than because previously, like over the last couple seasons, Jordan Love, 31.3 passer grade. Like last year in 2021. Okay, hey, we got some news. Well,
that's what my watch was just vibrating. So there it is. We are live here.
We are live. We're going live. Okay, so looks like I have the second pick, and JD, you have pick 8.
I'm trying to get this is, I always find this is the toughest, is me finding the draft once it's settled in. That's yep, my one suggestion to drafters is oh, here we go. Pre-draft. Okay. We are in. So I'm in the, where am I?
You're 8.
8 and you're in the 2 spot. Nice. Look
I
at
am
that.
In the 2 spot.
Look at that.
Woo. Lots of fun. Lots of fun. And for those who are unfamiliar with drafters, this is full PPR, no tight end premium. Start one quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and a flex. This is a 20-round draft. And with these types of drafts, JD, what types of strategies are you looking at? Are you letting the board come to you? Do you have a structure in mind already? How much experience have you had with the 8-hole? What are you thinking going into this spot?
Yeah, I approach pretty much every best ball draft similarly, in the sense that I don't go in with like a predetermined build or player that I want to build around or anything like that. I kind of, the old cliche, I let it fall to me. I always joke, like, if I could let the first 2-3 rounds auto pick and then go from there, I don't mind that, just because I find the fun is kind of as you go later into the draft with regards to making your selection and looking at your build and balancing, your rosters properly. I talk often about telling a story, and your story's got to make sense with your roster. Right. And we can get more into that as we build this, but more than anything, it's, I have my kind of preference. I'm looking usually in the first 2-3 rounds, like at tiers, wherever my tier breaks are, that's kind of how I decide where I'm going to go. There's right. guys that I am avoiding that we can talk about as we go through Ooh, the rounds.
We can definitely talk about them.
But yeah, I mean, I have builds, when you're looking at like how many running backs I end up with or how many quarterbacks or positional builds that I lean, tend to lean and end up more with, but I don't discriminate, man. I'll try all kinds of stuff. That's why I like doing many best balls and play the different platforms.
Well, I just took Travis Kelce at the 2nd spot. So
there you go.
And look, Jefferson went off first, but that was an auto pick. And I'm a big believer that Kelce still is in a tier of his own, a multi-tier of his own. Like, you are into tier 3 by the time you get into the Andrews, Kittle, Hockenson, like that type of tight end, because Kelce was a top 5 tight end 60 something percent of the time this past year. Right. The next closest tight end. Yeah. The next closest tight end was 25% of the time.
Yeah, he won a lot of leagues this year. Even I believe in the playoff challenges, he was a big part of the winning rosters. Even in non tight end premium, he gives you that advantage. It's funny because I have a slow one where I was just trying to see where I got him. I got him in the 5 spot, and then I just couldn't resist grabbing Mahomes on the way back. I'm like, I'll just do one. I just have to do one. Mahomes, Kelce roster.
Yeah, the problem with taking Kelce at the 102 is that I'm probably not going to get Mahomes.
Yeah.
Just based on the ADPs here.
Which is fine, because I feel like in these tournaments, that stack is, maybe it gets to a point where it's over owned. I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I mean? It's not as, all right, let me just make my pick here.
Yeah, no, I get it. You're competing then against the diversity of other Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes drafters. And is your play diverse enough? Do you have enough upside accessed because you got Mahomes and Kelce? Because maybe there was one draft where Mahomes fell to the 3rd or 4th round, and then, you've lost a little bit of EV on there,
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
I love Mondays. And yes, I'm being 100% serious. Why? It's because I'm a Dunkin' Rewards member, and Mondays are better with Dunkin' Rewards. Every Monday this month, rewards members get a free medium hot or iced coffee with any purchase. Not a member? Join on the Dunkin' app and never miss a deal like this. Dunkin' Rewards. Save them, stack them, use them how you want. America runs on Dunkin'. Limit one per member per Monday. Additional charges and terms may apply. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Wow, we've got a stretch run of
receivers.
Six receivers.
Pissing yellow.
Yes, yikes. The okay. There are two players that I feel like went earlier than they should have in that run. I think Stephon Diggs going at six and AJ Brown going at seven feel a little bit early. What are your thoughts on that, JD?
Yeah, I relative to other drafts, agreed. It's funny, right? Because you've got, I took Adams there. Kupp is an interesting one, Cooper Kupp. I don't know what your thoughts are on him. I'm not as ready to jump on him in the first round as many people are. I don't know. I hesitate coming off injury, that offense. There's like a million factors. I know he's a beast anytime he's healthy and he's on the field. For me, it's always about opportunity cost. Like, what am I passing on to make this pick, you know, to take this player over someone else? I went Adams, 180 targets this year. He is a beast. If anyone's a beast, he's healthier. 1,500 yards, receiving yards this year. Obviously he's going to have a new quarterback, but that might be a good thing for him. We don't know yet, right?
I mean, Jared Stidham, look at that.
Look, for me, Adam is QB proof, you know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm not biting my words on that. I don't have like a Stidham season or anything, but
he wasn't car proof for like 4 weeks there.
True.
Yeah, I think the argument for Kupp is he provides the safest floor by far, and he still accesses elite ceiling. Last year, Cooper Kupp, 88% of the time, gave you at least a flex-worthy start. That was the best out of any wide receiver. The next closest was 68%, and that was Tyreek Hill. So... ooh, interesting. 1912 suggests Brissett going to the Raiders. You know, one of the things that surprised me about Jacoby Brissett this year was his willingness to throw the ball down the field. And it must have been like the coaches telling him, like, look, we saw this on film in your time in New England and Indianapolis, and you were just dinking and dunking, or you weren't like leading your receivers as much as we saw him lead Amari Cooper, you know. And I think that Amari Cooper played even better than with
like
Deshaun
Watson. I like Cooper this year. I just like the evolution of that offense with Watson getting a full offseason, you know, whatever, a year. I don't know if it's even a year removed, I guess. Or some time anyways removed from his whole situation off the field. But... Wow, your Mahomes went early, eh? Went at the beginning of the second round.
Yikes. You know what? I'm going to go with the big dog here because I can't resist.
Look at you.
I can't resist. Look, maybe I'm just going with the oldies. But
Have you been drafting him these last few years?
No.
Interesting.
That's the funny thing.
That's why I ask. That's interesting.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, is that I was doing research on running backs, and you'd think, oh, it's McCaffrey who's like has the highest rate of top five running back weeks, or it's Eckler, or it's Jacobs. No, it was Derrick Henry last year by a wide margin. Just he was consistently a top five running back, and I can't get away from that. Oh, man. And to not maybe when you gotta, I gotta go Nick Chubb here. I'm a huge fan of Nick Chubb this year too. Like Kareem Hunt's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Who are they going to replace him with? Maybe a rookie back, but we saw Chubb like be leaned into near the end of the season anyways. And dude was ripping off breakaway runs at one of the highest rates. His elusive rating and juke rates are always at the near the highest.
I like that Stevenson pick there too as well.
Ooh. There's some debate. Billy and I were debating yesterday about where Stevenson should rank. He has him at 7 and I have him at 13. JD, are you going to be the happy medium, or where do you think Stevenson should end up going?
So I actually, funny you asked that question. I was playing around. Oh man, now I'm not going to be able to find it. Let me see if I can find it really quick. But basically, yeah. So I was kind of playing. It's fine. I was playing around with that exact thing. I've got him kind of 2-4. I've got him like around 8. And I actually moved him ahead of Etienne. I know it's not going to be popular, and especially with my guys, because, you know, Etienne's like a GOAT district on-brand kind of guy, and I've got a lot of shares. The reason I think he moves ahead of Etienne is with them signing, total blank on who Jacksonville just signed. Who was their backup running back last year? Hasty?
Yeah, Jermichael Hasty.
Jermichael Hasty. Yeah, he was pretty involved last year. Good backup, obviously, like a good opportunity, obviously, if there's injuries, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. My Etienne is, it's going to be interesting to see if they give full load or limited, and then carve out that role for Hasty now that they have re-signed him and he's coming back. And I mean, we've seen him, like I said, play a role. Let me just get to my pick here. Hold on one sec.
Well, let's just point out while you're making your pick that team 111 picked Mahomes and Burrow. So
yes, I just noticed that. How do you feel about that?
I feel terrible. Come on.
That's awesome.
Like I didn't think, you know, this would be my Lenten penance, but here we are, you know, getting sniped at the last day of February. 1912 says Lombardi Lenny to the Pats. That would screw over Ramondre, I think. Unless he's more hefty Lenny than anything, that would be problematic.
Like, where does Lenny end up, you think?
There was a rumor about Dallas.
Oh, that's interesting.
They cut Zeke.
Replace one Lenny with another one.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but... Oh boy.
I love Pollard, man. I think Pollard, for me, if he's healthy, especially with Zeke on, I think he's like a top five, possible top five. He gives you that upside. Him and Javonte Williams right now, I think, are guys that can, you know, really win you leagues, getting them in the fifth, sixth round.
You think Javonte Williams is a league winner? Interesting.
I think if you can get him in the sixth round and he comes back, and whether he starts, you know, early or comes in a little later, to get the upside. He was their RB1 last year I'm talking out of my
ear. I mean, he was supposed to be, but in the couple games he played, he did not play well. But the whole offense for the Broncos didn't play well. I'm hoping to set something up here. Oh, there we go. Come on. Okay, so I went Kirk and Ridley. So if that's telegraphing anything, someone better not snipe me this. Yeah, that's come around.
That's definitely a team that I've stacked quite a bit is Jacksonville. And then, you know, are they becoming overvalued versus the opportunity cost, right? Like the other guys that you're taking. It is a fun stack to do, because there's pretty much every position you can hit. If you miss, you know, one, you've got the other one to kind of hit on.
Yep.
And they're spread out through the rounds, which is nice.
Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence was a top five quarterback in terms of rate at which he was a top five quarterback. As funny as it sounds, 25% of the time he was a top five quarterback last year. So yeah, 1912.
So I apologize, Bradley. I was referring to 20. Wow, my years are this is 2021. So the one game he started, he was the RB1.
Oh yeah,
what I was referring to. I apologize. Against KC, the only time he was close to 80% snap share. Oop, we're on the clock.
Yeah, Javonte Williams certainly had that upside. My concern is that he falls down like the J.K. Dobbins path of like he could be really nice for you at the end of the season. But the problem is you were banking on him contributing, you know, at the beginning or even in the middle, and you're trying to recover from that lost EV at the beginning of the season. Like, are you going to get there is my question.
Yeah. So I think it's funny. We talked about this. I had Wheeler on, Kevin Wheeler on Ball in Live. We similar, you know, we draft best balls live. Yeah. And we talked about this exact thing. You can build your roster. The thing with best ball is you can build the roster around that, right? Again, you're, mm-hmm. you know, if you're telling that story, if you're drafting right. him, you should be aware that, look, there's, you know, there's talks. Yeah, he's going to be ready week one. We've heard that before. It doesn't mean anything. There's a really good possibility that you have him for the second half of the year. So you basically right. have to build your roster around that. And maybe you're not taking as many rookie running backs because those right. are the ones that you're usually drafting to depend on later. Yes, you're taking him early in Javonte. It's not super early, but again, to get that upside at that point of the draft, if you build the rest of your draft, especially the way we're seeing these veteran running backs, right? Getting roles and getting significant roles. We saw Latavius Murray come in last year. I know I got him like super cheap off waivers and he was just running, you know, he was like the best RB2 you could ask for off of yep. waivers last year. So these older guys are definitely getting roles. This year, it's, you know, with the rookies coming in and free agency, it's definitely going to be messy. This, I think, is easy.
Yeah, you're up on the clock. There's some real value here at running back just staring at you. Yeah. But are you going to go that way? You got some veterans on your team.
I know. And then I see
Davante Adams.
And then I see another. Aaron Jones. I can go two different ways here. I know.
Yeah, there's some interesting picks going to be made here coming up very soon. That's going to determine a lot for a lot of these teams. I mean, we've seen 7 quarterbacks go off the board.
Oh, no way.
Oh, did you get auto picked?
No way. Yeah, I totally messed that up.
Joe Mixon is the auto pick.
You just for some reason I couldn't, like, I was trying to click and it was just not.
Oh no.
In there. Anyways, it's fine. I was going running back there. I was either going Dalvin or Gibbs.
Are you surprised to see Dalvin Mixon this late in round 6?
No, not Mixon. I don't know that he comes back to Cincinnati, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. He's a cut candidate for sure.
Yeah,
he's Are you kidding candidate. Me? Trevor Lawrence. Ah, God bless it all.
Yeah.
Sorry, JD.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? When you set these up and they don't, you know, you get sniped a couple before. Buddy's probably yeah. watching you set that up. And he's like, oh, this guy thinks he's so smart, eh?
Yeah, that's what I get. That's what I get in February. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, 3-putt G.
Is that what that is? 3-putt G. Wow.
Okay. Well, let's take a look here. Man, we are wide receivers sucked dry. I feel like going running back again. I like the Jahmyr Gibbs pick. Yeah, let's go Jahmyr Gibbs here.
Yeah, I like that there. That's kind of why I like going receivers early, because I find mm-hmm. the running back is nice and juicy pretty much throughout a good portion of the draft, and receiver just gets super thin.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably just death by like 14 PPR points. I think that's how I'm gonna have to attack the rest of this draft.
That's funny. Oh man, that Mixon looks so ugly on my roster. I just want to take that one out. Can I please have that one out? That's my fault, because going in like that when you're deciding, you gotta at least mark a star on right. one of these guys, you know, just to be like, okay, if I don't, you know, make my decision on time or can't click or whatever.
Yeah, Jordan Addison is projected to get first round draft capital, so I'll go with him.
I don't hate that.
Those first round draft capital wide receivers were absolute fire last year, even though you were like, well, should we not? Because, you know, we were thinking the ADPs weren't just matching, and there's a lot of missing landing spots, or maybe they just didn't have the exact right profile. But like Jahan Dotson last year was 42% of the time he was in your lineups, at least a flex play. You know, he was buoyed by touchdowns, but you have to like that he was involved in the offense. He was commanding targets. And even though he didn't like access the elite ceilings, you didn't hate the really late Jahan Dotson. I think he was going at wide receiver 65 or so last year.
Dotson was a great value last year. Even in rookie drafts for Dynasty, he was a really great, you wouldn't think he was a first round draft pick. I think, I don't know, people just wrote him off because he was going to Washington, maybe because F1 was there. But Dotson is, even this year, he's been good value in these drafts.
Yeah, so that's,
as he goes off the board, someone's listening.
Yeah. I mean, wide receiver. Okay, so I actually looked at the cumulative game data for the first round and first round wide receivers plus Christian Watson, because he was top 34 pick. I mean, he was the 202. 5.8% of the time, those players were a top five wide receiver in games that they played last year. Nearly 14% of the time, they were top 10 wide receivers. 20% of the time, they were top 18. And then a third of the time, they were at least flex plays. And that's including like the zeros you were getting from the Jameson Williams near the end when he was playing, but not really.
Yeah, rookies are nice, especially in these tournaments. They offer you, if you get them in the right kind of zone of the draft and the right rounds, they can really increase your ceiling potential versus, again, you know, the opportunity cost that you pass on in that same round. And that becomes more and more a factor as you go deeper into the draft. And for me, that's why, like, late, it's rare that I'm looking to fill like floor plays in my roster. I'm just firing, you know, upside first year, second year guys, like rookies, you know, anything that I can give me upside. Even if it's a quarterback, that's, you know, if it's a super flex type of best ball and it's later in the draft, any kind of upside I'm aiming for. I'm not really looking for floor often, especially in these big field tournaments.
Right. I mean, it's going to be, that's what I'm working on this off season is an upside guide. So answering the question, where does upside come from? Where do these top five explosion games come from? And what type of profile of players can we look at? What type of matchups, et cetera. And so that's going to be, that's in development right now. So hopefully it'll hit Amazon sometime this summer. So for those who are in the best ball streets, you can look forward to the upside guide that's going to be coming out for Best Ball Fantasy. Make sure you keep your eyes out. I'll make some announcements and send out tweets when that becomes available. But man, oh man, we're seeing some nice values here.
I can't believe I got Prescott after Goff.
Is that a thing? Telling me. Look, Goff was last year. Jared,
I love
Goff,
me some Goff, but I didn't realize he was going around Prescott.
Jared Goff last year was the quarterback 4 in rate at which he was a top 5 quarterback.
Like, I'm in a draft where Prescott went off the board in the 6th round and Goff went off in the 9th.
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen. Usually doesn't happen, Goff before Prescott. I don't know. I'm thinking,
was he stacking? No, he didn't even. Oh yeah, he. That's why he's got ESB. That's why.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. I'm still.
What do you think, Brad? You don't have a quarterback yet. You don't have a tight end yet. You've got what?
I do. I do have Kelsey. I've got Kelsey.
Oh yeah, you've got Kelsey. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna have to go with like, yeah, Tua here. I think that's the move. Maybe I'll double tap quarterback just because, and then I'll be set at quarterback, set at tight end, and then I'm already set at running back, frankly, because if I don't win, it's because my other running backs like didn't come through for me.
Yeah.
So I would just have to like pretty much go wide receiver pretty much the rest of the draft, except maybe one tight end. So that's how I'm, how I'm viewing it right now is we're going to go with Trey Lance here just with the question upside. Like, I don't know what kind of upside Trey Lance could have, but he might have some massive one. That's why choosing Trey Lance over Geno Smith is the move. We know what kind of upside Geno Smith has. 6% of the time he was a top five quarterback last year in a career year. Whereas Trey Lance can move with his legs, and if he can complete passes, we're talking about, you know, top five quarterback fantasy.
Geno was also a lot better in the first half of the season, if I recall. I just remember him kind of fizzling off at the end, towards the end or the back end of the season.
And I mean, DK Metcalf didn't even have a big, like a top five worthy week until that San Francisco playoff game, was it, or end of the season, somewhere around there.
Do you remember at what point Geno was that we knew that Geno was going to be the starter on that team? Like, was I, I'm trying to remember at what point in the offseason, because I don't
think
he was
always in the lead.
But it was never like a sure thing, right? Until like pretty close, I think.
Yeah. But I was advocating for Geno the whole offseason. I was like, if it comes down to Drew Locke or Geno Smith, it was always going to be Geno. I mean, we looked at some of the advanced metrics on PFF, and Geno Smith was like top 12, top 8, top 15, and like all of the advanced metrics from his limited sample in 2021. And I was like, he's actually not too bad. He should be like playing. And Geno Smith actually retweeted that.
That's pretty cool. There you go.
Yeah. 1912, always be stacking. Always be stacking.
So nice.
Quasi 27, you know, always be stacking, I suppose. What's your thought on Brian Robinson versus Antonio Gibson?
So funny. I literally DM'd someone today where I said it, like, I'm still not sure on Gibson, on Gibby, but somebody was saying JD McKissick might retire. I heard that today somewhere. I don't want to.
That wouldn't surprise me, is a neck issue,
which would be huge in my opinion for, hold on, I got a pick coming up here. In my opinion for Gibby, because that's basically where, so he was what, he was a receiver, right? When he came in as a rookie.
Yep,
so
out of Memphis.
You got to think JD McKissick, with the amount of receptions he was getting, pretty steady, you know, giving you a nice floor with those PPR points. Let me take my boy Khalil, the real deal, Herbert, as my RB4. I love it. Who is it we were just talking about? Oh, the running backs in Washington. I love the enemy coming there. Just, you know, you got to think that offense is going to kind of take that next step. He's going to figure out how to use some of these pieces, you know, more optimally, I would imagine. I don't know if Sam Howard's the guy. It seems like right now he's the guy, which is kind of fun because he gives you that kind of late option in some of these drafts, especially in these like super flex best balls. But I kind of, and Robinson looked great last year. I mean, he, you know, came in like, oh, he's just a plotter. He's just going to be a goal line type of guy, two down guy, but he showed a bit more versatility, I think. And I think they've got two nice pieces there. I like them both more if JD McKissick isn't there, and they don't obviously bring in, you know, I don't think they're going to be drafting much with regards to running back rookies, but no, I don't mind them, and they're going later, right? Like, they're not going at a point where you're really the opportunity cost or you're spending like huge money on them. So I like their value right now.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Jesse Kelly here. I'm not a financial expert, but I do look for solid investment opportunities for investment growth and protection against loss. I do know that putting all your eggs in one basket is not a good financial plan. Securing your IRA or 401k with real gold and silver with Oxford Gold is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Or you can buy precious metals and keep them in your safe. One app, one call, and you pick your precious metals. Call 833-901-COIN. That's 833-901-COIN.
Oh, man.
decisions.
I know one of the things that's I'm kicking myself right now is I love Kyler Murray at this spot.
Yeah, I keep forgetting how low he is. He might be the biggest. I was selling Kyler Murray like halfway through last season or maybe even a bit before. But yeah. Right now it's just he's so juicy as a buy, in my opinion.
I had to go with Michael Thomas there for just the pure upside, JD.
Well, I don't hate it because you're like you've only got your three receivers, right? And one of them is a rookie.
Yep.
So if Thomas pops, he's a solid receiver. He almost fits in as your receiver three till Addison can take over.
Exactly. I mean, frankly, I'm going to be hammering so many wide receivers as we go the rest of the way. But Michael Thomas offers access to elite upside that almost no other wide receivers like in this realm access. Like Donovan Peoples-Jones, there's no way Donovan Peoples-Jones gives you a top 5 week. Or like Darnell Mooney, no way he gives you a top 5 week. Josh Palmer, no. I mean, we don't know where Brandon Cooks is going to be, but that's not going to happen, frankly. I like Matthew Stafford late too. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, the value on those quarterbacks late are. You start seeing like the Tuas, and you start getting a bit nervous, like the trail, like the more you know, some right. questionable guys, right? And then you start getting nervous, and then you'll take a guy or two, and then like later, you start seeing Kyler there, and you're like, wow, Stafford's still there. Like Stafford as right. a QB2 in a 1 QB team is perfect.
But also one of the things to keep in mind for those who are watching and not familiar with Drafters Fantasy, this tournament is a season-long tournament, weeks 1 through 17. So it is not a playoff best ball type of tournament where you go for 14 weeks, then weeks 15, 16, 17 are elimination rounds.
Yes.
It's not like that. So it's an accumulation of points. So you need to be careful about how many rookies you roster in some of these. You know, maybe you can go a little bit heavy here and there.
Look who fell to me, Bradley. Look at this as my QB2. I can't resist.
Oh, get out of here.
I mean, how money is that with Dak?
Oh, my gosh. You'll be able to hold
somebody. How does somebody take Pickett over Murray?
Oh my gosh, that happened.
Wow, I totally missed. I'm looking, I'm like, what the heck? All right, I'm very happy now. That makes up for my Mixon, you know. Hopefully Mixon doesn't.
Yeah, we can't
get a donut.
This is still a lot of fun. Look, we're ironing out the kinks. This is why we do it.
But that's why, like you said before we came on the show, Bradley, $5 drafts. I mean, how can right. you go wrong, right? If you screw up or you
I mean, how can you go wrong? I'll tell you how we go wrong. Not on drafters. Yeah, not going wrong yeah, here.
True.
It's a lot of fun. And if you see us having fun and want to join in on it, make sure you jump into drafters.com. Use the promo code BEST, BEST. That'll get you extra $20 for a first-time deposit on the site. And that means 4 free entries into this $5 early NFL Best Ball Championship tournament. Pays out, what was it, $50,000 total?
50,000 total, 10,000 first.
Yeah. Whew. I could use 10 grand.
For $5. I mean, how can you go wrong, right? For $5.
And it's a lot of fun drafting with your buds and getting sniped in February.
I'll say this. They have a really good platform. Like drafting mm-hmm. on this site, you guys see it. It's visually, appealing. It's very user-friendly. Apart from, like I said, finding my live draft, like when I wish it would just pop up the lobby, like when it starts or something, that would be my only complaint. I do like the way they have this platform laid out. And it is, if you haven't checked it out, guys, check it out. And Bradley's got a nice code for you.
Promo code. Well, and I talked with the CEO last summer and he was like, all right, so what are some suggestions that you had? I gave him a couple of them, and one of them was dark mode. And look at us, JD. Look at us.
You cannot have dark mode these days.
Oh my gosh. And so he was like, we're on it. So
did you tell him only serial killers don't use dark mode in 2023?
Look, people will post their best ball drafts on Twitter and like they're in light mode and I am blinded. I'm like, oh my God, my eyes, I just can't see.
It's like that with like I'm into like charting and you know, whatever, crypto, yeah, and you know, stocks and that kind of stuff. And as soon as somebody shows me their chart and it's like white, it just like, it's like, let me get my sunglasses, you know. I just got one of my favorite tight ends as my 10-2 with
Chig.
Love with this guy. I mean, especially with like a limited route tree or limited target tree out there in Tennessee, as it looks, yes, like it'll probably be this year. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, right? Because they usually lean, new younger quarterbacks, new to offenses, they have a habit of leaning on the tight end, and Okonkwo just looked like he has beast potential with what he showed glimpses of last season.
Absolutely. Let me pull up the Chig Okonkwo data, because you mentioned, whoa, forgery attack. What on PFF? I gave that was funny. Okay, sorry. Receiving four tight ends. Chig Okonkwo was tied for fourth among all tight ends in PFF receiving grade, and actually only second among those with 40 or more targets, only behind Travis Kelce.
Yards per reception, he was tight end one. Yards per route run, tight end one.
All right, I went Alan Lazard, and I went Alan Lazard because he was...
Because it's a homer pick.
Well, you see the Lazard jersey behind me, you know. But when you looked at expected fantasy point, I'm back on the clock. This is quick. I'm going to go Kayshon Booty.
Yep.
I think that's the correct pronunciation I've been seeing on the in the Twitter sphere, is Kayshon Booty. I mean,
how can it be wrong, right?
When is Booty ever wrong? JD, I'm gonna make that into a YouTube clip right there.
There you go. There you go. that's your ticket to 1,000 right there.
but in all seriousness, last year, I'm trying to find where did I put the research? Okay, so in expected points among wide receivers, Alan Lazard expected. Okay, here we go. Expected top five rate. Alan Lazard was 11th among wide receivers in expected rate of top five performances. That's according to data from PFF.
So where do you put him in that offense next year? Let's say Jordan Love.
He's a free agent. I don't think he's coming back.
Oh, is he a free agent? Oh, wow. See, I had no idea. I thought he had one more. I thought he was there for one more.
Yeah, he was a restricted free agent last year, and I think he's in a UFA this year. So I've been drafting a lot of round 12, 13. It's like even lower, Alan Lazard, because he's a big-bodied wide receiver. He's going to get paid. He's going to be a focal point of some not great team's offense.
Got sniped right before.
On Spears?
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of love for Spears. There's a lot.
I usually love taking P. Ryan in this range. I think he's like, so, especially if Mixon doesn't come back, I think with the pass catching ability and just him being in that offense, being comfortable, like I just think he's such good value. I don't know. This is going to be an ugly pick, I think, right here.
Let's see. Never draft RBs. Said, sorry for taking all the tight ends. I dozed off for a few rounds, and then he sniped you.
Nice. That's all right. That's all right. I joked the other day. I was in a slow draft FFPC, and Theo, the OG Fantasy, who's on our channel, he put a tweet out about Tajay, and I liked it. And the guy ahead of me had been on the clock forever. And I swear, like 3 minutes after I liked that tweet, he goes and he picks Tajay. I was like, you bastard. Creeper. You creeper.
Oh, man. Fantasy Dog hops in and says, is something wrong with Ezekiel Elliott? His ADP right now is 125 on Drafters, and we are at 155.
Yeah.
This is way too late for Zeke still.
It gets to a point where you got to kind of take him.
There's an inflection point, and we're past it, honestly. Oh, yeah. Congrats to the GOAT District and Theo for Player Profiler. That's a pretty cool thing, JD.
Yes. He's got a pretty significant role over there, which is awesome for Theo. Yeah. He's going to smash it. Him, actually, Billy Muzio, too, both two big gets. Your ex-boy, Billy. Your ex-boy.
Yep, former partner in crime, Billy Muzio. Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. I had a line of thought, and then it completely left me. And now we're seeing some like gross tight ends go off the board. Like Gerald Everett shouldn't be going off. Yeah, like
there's a lot of grossness going on here.
Like I liked Gerald Everett last year when we knew that he was going to be the tight end one on the LA Chargers.
Yeah, I think he's like in, I feel like he's a better value right now in tight end premium best ball for some reason. Whereas like who's, I mean, Higbee could be, oh, there goes Elliott right before. There you go. Oh, I got to go. I don't love it. Is Gallup coming back? I don't even know if he's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I got to go with the stack just because I have Prescott and I'm looking for a receiver here.
I've been drafting a lot of Michael Gallup. I think he has a big bounce back year. Remember last year, he had a really late 2021 ACL tear and he was already like on the downward. And I think they didn't force him out there. You're not going to say that, but he definitely hurried his rehab to like be on the field versus like there's on field versus performance. And he just didn't perform last year. So I think this year he's due for a better performance.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Agreed. Trying to see how he did the year, like in 20. He was, yeah, so 2021. Yeah, here, I see that.
Okay. So right now, my build is a 2-3-7-1 build. What's your build looking like here, JD?
So I'm at 2-4-6-2.
Okay.
Do you usually do you do three QBs at all?
No.
Like let's say you hit your QB one later. Does that change anything, or do you just kind of stick to two QBs?
I mean, I need to ride the wave with Tua and Trey Lance. If I'm leaning on a third QB, that means that I'm in a lot of trouble. So maybe like. There is one later that we've talked about off air that I would be very interested in, but yeah. Not right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. You want to kind of go, you got to smash your two quarterbacks, you know, your tight ends. You seem to build similar to me where it's like top heavy at running back, maybe not as deep, and then just smashing receiver.
Yeah.
You know, going as deep as you can with receiver.
I mean, one of those guys is bound to give me a wide receiver 1 week, right? One of those guys is bound to give me one wide receiver 2 week. One of those guys is bound to give me one wide receiver 3 week, right? That's all I need, yeah?
See, I don't hate what this guy did in the one spot. That's why I was asking you. Like, he took Cousins in the ninth, and then he went back-to-back with, like, Young and Stroud. I don't hate that because he's kind of giving himself that QB2, like one of these two guys should smash, if not both, right? Yep. Especially at this price. So I think it's not a bad move with a guy like Cousins.
See, Jalen Warren is one of my favorite picks here.
Yeah, I like 15. That. I like that too.
One of the most efficient running backs in the NFL. And we know what role Najee has. And if there's a handcuff to Najee Harris, it's Jalen Warren. And he's a dynamic little piece out of the backfield. Undrafted free agent.
Catches the ball. 28 receptions last year.
It was clear that the coaching staff trusted him. So 30-something percent of snaps in many games last year. It's just that Najee Harris was able to play through his Liz Frank. Anthony Richardson went off. That's one of my favorite later round quarterbacks. Like if I'm punting quarterback.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson, just the Konami ability. Right? Yeah. And if he gets top 10 draft capital, like teams are not going to sit their top 10 draft capital quarterback.
I took Curtis Samuel. We were talking about Washington earlier.
Love Curtis Samuel.
I mean, the value, yeah. With that offense, the possibilities of him now with Bieniemy there. And last year, again, he was coming off a pretty significant injury, right, Samuel?
He did miss most of 2021, yes.
Yeah. So
I think like hamstring. Hamstring.
Yeah. Was it just hamstring? I mean, with receivers, those things linger, right?
Yeah, the soft tissue issues were a problem for him in 2021. Because I think it was in 2020 that – was it a hamstring? So 2020, he had his, like, breakout year. And then 2021, he signed with Washington. He was supposed to, like – it was supposed to be him and Terry McLaurin pairing with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
In five games.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think he's been in the league 6 years already.
Yeah, and he's what, only 27? He came in really young.
Yeah, not even. He's not even 27 yet. 26 and a half, barely.
Yeah, he came in really young. Super speedy guy out of Ohio State.
I mean, you put him with Dotson and F1. You know,
Antonio Gibson out of the backfield.
Gibson and J-Rob. I mean, they're J-Rob. Did I get that right? I'm just thinking now.
Brian. What's his
B-Rob? J-Rob. I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm looking at, but yeah. I mean, they've got a nice little offense. They're like a sneaky offense they should still have a good defense. In Washington, they've been pretty solid at defense. So that'll also help the running game. All right, I'm coming on the clock here.
All right.
Oh, here we go. I'll go with one of my favorites this time of the draft is John Mechie.
Ooh.
Speaking of guys just coming back from being away ACLs. From the game. Yeah.
Well, he had cancer too, right?
Yes.
And he's expected to play, right?
Yes. Expected to be back, to my knowledge, full pop.
Man, JD, you and I, the only player I think from your list that I'm looking at that...
Don't say Mixon.
No. Like, fine, whatever about the Mixon pick. But Hunter Renfro, talk to me about round 13, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, another guy. I got to...
Like, obviously, he's going to have to bounce back this year. But we have questions at quarterback. It's obvious Devontae Adams is the number one. He was sucking away target share from Renfro and from... Darren Waller. There's also like Mac Hollins out there. Like, what kind of role is there still for Hunter Renfro?
So I always take into consideration what's new, right? So they had, I saw him like 50 times today being interviewed, and I can't think of the New England's OC that went over to Vegas. Anyways, Vegas is new head coach.
McDaniels.
Thank you very much. you got it. You always have to take into consideration that when a new offense, a new regime comes into a team, it takes time for all the pieces to kind of mesh together and to kind of work together. So, you know, I know they don't have Carr there anymore, so that's probably going to take a bit of a step back, but I think Renfro coming, he's a year removed from 128 targets, 103 reception, over 1,000 yards. You know, he was the wide receiver 16. I mean, in 2021. So I think him and Waller for me are definitely bounce back candidates this year. And it might just be a matter of a narrow target tree, like we talked about earlier in Vegas. Again, we don't know who the quarterback is, but I mean, you look at who I'm drafting him around. I think he's a solid candidate for a bounce back season, in my opinion.
Well, I just took Adam Thielen in round 17. Save me.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I always look at it this way. It's like, do I want one share of Adam Thielen or do I want like, you know, 20%? Do I want 50%? That's how I kind of look at it. I'm never saying no, but Thielen in like the, what are we in the, you know,
round
the
17.
Last four rounds? Yeah. I mean, how do you say no? How many wide receiver two and wide receiver, you know, production.
I mean, he could get cut or retire or something, but like, I do expect Minnesota to address the wide receiver two position. It was clear that, you know, it's Jefferson and then who, you know, it's not going to be KJ Osborne. Like, Osborne is a fine wide receiver three, but it felt like it was Jefferson and then, you know, maybe it's Hockenson.
The thing with Thielen is, And I like finding these kind of guys, is the guys that their touchdowns drop off pretty significantly. And that really affects like where they kind of end off. Cause he's similar to 2020 with Thielen. He still had, you know, 107 targets, 70 receptions. But his touchdowns were, he was down to 6. Whereas he had been like around between 10 and 14, and he was giving you more of that wide receiver two, at the end of the season, whereas last year he was wide receiver 41. I'm on the clock here.
Well, this will be a good opportunity to remind those who are just joining, if you like the content, you find this helpful, big fans of myself or JD, if you've just joined in, make sure you hit that red subscribe button if you're new. So appreciate y'all jumping in, joining us tonight. JD is such a great wealth of knowledge, good friend. Happy to have him on joining me for a last day of February draft as we get into the last 2 hours until we jump into March. JD, we've got the combine coming up here at the significant parts for the offensive players, at least at the end of the week. What are a couple things that you're looking for? You know, any players that are sticking out to you that you want to be monitoring for the combine?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the quarterbacks, I think, super interesting this year. The running backs, I mean, you know, actually running back is actually interesting as well, right? You've got a lot of different types of running backs, and it's interesting to see how these NFL teams want these guys in specific roles. So you've got like your pass catching guys, your smaller, you know, running backs, your quicker guys. It's going to be interesting to see who goes where and what the expectation is. But I think coming out of this combine, it's just the movement, right? Like guys are maybe considering top five, top six, top 10 rookies. We see it often. These guys drop, right? And we see the other way around, where guys that we might not consider top at their position blow, you know, a 40 out of the water or whatever it is. And next thing you know, they're, you know, they're expected to be like the wide receiver one off the board. And this year, I could see that at receiver, just because it seems like it's not like amazing, but there seems to be enough receivers there that can get that speed. Hold on, I'm on the clock here. I am going to go. Is this the last round? No, we're not.
We got three rounds. This is round 18. So 18, 19, 20 left.
I'm actually going to make this a three tight end.
Ooh, spicy.
I like Ferguson in Dallas. I don't see Schultz going back there, just because I don't think they're going to spend. I don't think they're going to tag him, my opinion. I could see.
powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
A guy like Ferguson, he showed enough last year, I think, for them to say, you know what, do we want to pay Schultz? What is it? Tight ends tag? What is it, like 10? What is it, 12 million or something like that?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Something like that. 10, 12 million. I feel like they've got a couple guys in Dallas. And Ferguson, for me, is kind of that front runner for that position. So again, he's going super late. I like him a lot more, obviously, in tight end premium, but I don't mind him as a flyer with my Dak Prescott, Michael Gallup stack, Jake Ferguson, all the stars out there in Dallas.
Yeah, the Jake Ferguson. I don't hate that as a late round tight end stab for sure. And Okonkwo as well has some real nice upside. All right, we're getting into the last of it. I feel like I need one more running back. Deuce Vaughn has been given a lot of positive vibes. If he was not 5'6", I think we'd be talking about him in a different light. Israel Abanaconda is on my list. I want to take him. He was one of the highest graded PFF rushing backs out of Pittsburgh, I believe. And we're seeing a CEH to Cincy possibility. Fancy Dog is calling it now.
Oh, wow.
That would be interesting. What do you think of that?
I've never been on CEH. It's one of those where I, you know, as much as I just said, I never say never. There are guys that, like I talked about earlier, that I'm just not into drafting. But I mean, he's going so late now that why not take some flyers on him, because he is going late. And right. We talked about the running back position, man. The running back position in these best ball drafts is super deep, and you'll notice as soon as you jump into them, compared, especially relative to the receiver position.
This is true. Oh man, Zach Ertz is still out there. I mean, he's probably going to recoup that starting spot second half of the season, right?
My most owned player is Trey McBride.
Ooh, so that's a no
on this site. Yeah, I was a big Ertz guy. Like, I actually liked Ertz probably longer than I should have, dynasty wise. But I really like what Trey McBride did last year. He flashed enough. Ertz how old is he now? Like 30? He's got to be over 30. No.
Yeah, he's over 30 for sure.
Which I know tight end, they'll play till they're older.
And, I mean, Tony Gonzalez was tight end 6 at age 37.
For sure. And I'm not like selling all my Kelsey shares or anything because he's, you know, 30. I get the tight end position is a more mature position. It's the hardest position to learn, right? In football, some say. But, hold on, we're coming up here.
Well, it's because you have to learn to block and then run routes as well.
All right, what are we at? Where does the second last round, right? 20.
Yeah, you got 2 picks left.
All right, nice. Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, Ertz is sitting there. I'm not looking for
tight end. No, you don't need a 4.
We are tight end. Oh, here's a rookie. Here's a rookie that I mentioned earlier, Rashee Rice. I am curious to see how he does. I'm going to take him here. I like him as a flyer in one of my last 2. I've got a lot of them actually in best ball. He's a bigger receiver, him and Roshan Johnson. Cody Carpentier talks about Roshan so much, it's hard not to, right? Like, anyone who listens to Player Profiler or Cody, follows Cody, knows the name Roshan Johnson. I'm very curious to see how this guy does in the combine, and if it moves him up you know, other people's rankings, because it's, you've always got you know, people's favorites and they really have them higher than others, and then you've got kind of the average, or the, you know, what the masses are doing. So it's always nice to see when there's like one guy that someone's super high on versus the rest of the field. I find those are the most interesting. So Roshan is definitely a guy, and Rice as a receiver.
Did you see Cody's video today where he was interviewing Coach McDaniel?
No way. Oh, I can't wait to see. Does he have the mic?
Yeah. So even better. So they were at the presser. They were answering questions. Oh, and Cody awesome. Asked him about the wide receiver three position. And I mean, I'll spoil it for you.
Yeah,
McDaniel stares him down and says, "Are you available? You look cheap."
That's
and
awesome.
Then he like pulls it back. He's like, you know, I'm not being serious here, but like, you know, everyone has to earn their keep. And like, cause Cody had asked about Cedric Wilson versus, whoever the is Akumba or something. There's a Ezekiel something.
You talking about rookies?
No, there's a wide receiver on Miami. I'm blanking on his name. Eric Ezukanma.
Okay.
He was asking about the competition between Cedric Wilson and Eric Ezukanma, and Cody and Coach McDaniel was like, "No, how about like we just like sign you real cheap?"
That's hilarious. Oh, I know where I'm going.
Run out of time. Did you get him?
McKenzie?
Isaiah McKenzie? Yeah, you got McKenzie. Nice.
Yeah.
Good pick with McKenzie.
Yeah, I just think I forget what I was listening to, but talking about Gabe Davis and just Buffalo's options, I don't know that receiver is necessarily like where they're lacking. You know what I mean? I don't know. I could be wrong. You don't agree with that?
I think they're lacking significantly.
Wide. But here's my next question. Like, are you improving your roster? Right? Like, well, who in free agent are you going to bring in that's better than what
you're going to have to draft somebody for sure.
Well, they'll have to draft somebody. True. Where are they picking again? Buffalo?
Back end of the, you know, back end of the draft.
With the depth, I mean, well, yeah, I feel like the receiver is kind of flat. No, like it's kind of a flat.
Yeah. They tier. Just take whoever's there. Just hang
whoever
out.
Falls to them. And again, like that doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. So for me, I don't mind investing at the price, like especially in McKenzie. I was looking at the other day. I mean, he gave you something, right? Like your last pick of the draft. I look at team rosters that I've won with in best ball. A lot of those last four or five rounds, you only need really one of those guys to really give you something and hit. Otherwise, you're looking for a guy to fill maybe 1 week, right? So, who'd you take for your last pick?
Deuce Vaughn. I took Deuce.
Nice. Rookies. Loaded with rookies, man. The upside.
Yep. All right. Well, sure. I'll take a picture. Cute.
Yeah. I've been doing that, and then I'm like, what am I going to do with these after?
So, let's take a look here. We've got the draft board. For those who are watching and want to get in on the action, this is on Drafters Fantasy. You can use the promo code BEST, B-E-S-T, for an extra $20 for first-time deposit. This is a $5 Drafters Early NFL Best Ball Championship, $50,000 in total prizes, $10,000 to first. And I think there's only 11,000 entrants that are allowed. So it's a relatively small tournament compared to, you know, the Best Ball Mania 3, for instance, that's 450,000, or like the DraftKings that are like 800,000, you know, entrants.
Is there a max entry? Like, is there,
can you 150?
Okay.
150 is max. So, okay. Yeah, you can put multiple bullets into this. JD, you started with Devontae Adams, went Garrett Wilson, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy. You went four straight wide receivers. Talk us through that structure real quick.
Yeah. Again, you talked about the kind of starting lineup. I'm usually a receiver early drafter just because as the off season develops, I get more riskier with my running backs earlier in the draft, but earlier in the off season, I like to invest early at the receiver position. It's just, I feel like it's more of a secure investment. I took Aaron Jones. They just signed him. Mixon was obviously the mistake there. But I was probably either going like, I mean, Dalvin Cook is even like, I, He's iffy there. I was probably going Gibbs just because I already had my RB1 in Jones. And then I followed up with Pacheco. I just like everything I saw from Pacheco, you know, in KC, whether he's seventh round or seventh pick overall. I mean, he's a running back, right? And these running backs, all they need is opportunity, in my opinion. So because I went three running backs straight chair, I only took two more running backs in Khalid Herbert. And Zamir White's a guy that we didn't really get a chance to see much just because Josh Jordan was like the new goat of all goats at the running back position. He was like Derrick Henry meets, you know, Saquon Barkley meets Ezekiel Elliott in his prime in 2022. But Zamir White going into the season was a guy that we at the Goat District were really high on. He was a guy I had a lot of shares of. Again, opportunity, right? I don't know that Josh Jacobs comes back, but even if he does, and then they have to, you know, or sign him to a contract, they're going to want to protect that investment. So either way, I see Zamir White getting opportunity. And again, this late, what was that? The
17th round.
Yeah, 17th round. Tight end, I went Pat Freiermuth, who, you know, has been developing nicely. Again, narrower target tree out there in Pittsburgh. So he's going to be a big part of that. Okonkwo, we talked about. I love. He's my favorite tight end too. And then Jake Ferguson out in Dallas, just with Schultz. I don't know that Schultz comes back. I had Dak as my QB1, so I stacked him and Gallup, and then Kyler Murray as my QB2, which we talked about as being probably one of the best values at quarterback right now in these drafts.
It was beautiful. I loved it. That was a great pick. Great, great pick. Awesome. Yeah, I started with Kelce at the 102. And then Henry and Chubb, so pound, ground and pound. You know, I'm just banking on the massive rushing volume. Even though it's full PPR, I don't think that really, not that it doesn't matter, but Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb are still going to get you fantasy points. I'm not going to worry about that. And then I went death by 1,000 paper cuts at wide receiver for pretty much all the rest of the way. Kirk, Ridley, Addison, Thomas, Downs, Lazard, Booty, Chark, and Thielen. That is 9 wide receivers. And then I also went Jahmyr Gibbs in the 6th round after he kind of, you know, came as a nice little value there. I think Gibbs is going to get second round draft capital, but there's also been a couple mock drafts I've seen where he sneaks into the first round. And I'm like, I'm skeptical of those, but at the same time, like, it's within the range of outcomes that's a possibility.
No, that's why I love him as my RB2. And that's kind of why instead of mixing him, I wish I had him. Just he's like that 3 down pass catching, you know, versatile back that I think because of all the talk with Robinson, like you said, he might be a sneaky guy, right? That in the right landing spot could be huge for fantasy. And he can help you to the promised land with Chubb and Henry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tua and Trey Lance, I double tapped and didn't touch quarterback again. And then my running backs the rest of the way, I took a couple late stabs, Jalen Warren, Abanaconda, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Deuce Vaughn. So some undersized pass catching running backs in CEH and Vaughn. But this is start 3 wide receivers. But I might not want to be starting a wide receiver as my flex is the problem. Like, I don't know if it's going to be deep enough for me. So that's why I did go with a lot of those later running backs, because if Jalen Warren, for instance, let's say Najee Harris suffers an ACL tear week 4, then I've got, you know, the number one running back there, and I've got Henry and Chubb to rotate through. So that's like my narrative and how the structure happened. Like, I don't think that you're going to get the same type of upside access with the wide receivers in round 17, 18, 19, and 20 that you could in a handcuff scenario for the Warrens, or if Israel Abanaconda lands on some nice, like a Tyler Allgeier type of landing spot from last year. That could be really nice. That's like my thought process through. I only went with one other tight end aside from Kelce, because when you go with those early tight ends, like you see here with me with Kelce, but also the Andrews drafter only went one other tight end. You're banking on that tight end being your tight end for the year.
Well, it's that story we talked about, right? Especially you're investing early. And that's why if you invest like early at a tight end, at the one-off spot, it gives you the flexibility of taking one more tight end. You took him later on. And I want to ask you about Fant, because I made a trade in FFPC Dynasty recently for Fant and, you know, got a little bit of heat for it. But that's the benefit, right? And even with, we talked about, like, if you take a quarterback early, you can really just, in a one QB like this, just take your Allen or Mahomes or whoever early, and then just take one guy later on, just as your kind of filler, because you're expecting most of the weeks your stud is going to, and in your case, Kelsey, right? So right. Even if you take three tight ends, four tight ends, what is that? That's not going to give you anything, because most weeks nothing. Kelsey's going to be your guy. Exactly.
Well, and the second or third or fourth tight end aren't going to contribute in your flex spot, because it's really difficult for a tight end to access even just flex worthy, flex worthy weeks. So yeah. That's the issue, is that you either have to go elite tight end, or in these drafts, JD, one of the things that I've done, if I haven't gone Kelsey or I haven't gotten a really nice value at like those, the Wallers or the Kittles of the world, I've not drafted a single tight end until round 17 and just go four tight ends.
See, I like the, I don't mind that. I do like the like round, once I get into the, like and Joku's a guy that I wanted. I like targeting him in round 9. We talk about Cleveland. He went right before my pick. So I went with Muth. Komet's another guy. So I like guys in like the round 9 to like 12 range. I go to Okonkwo in round 12. Dulcich is another guy. Komet, Okonkwo, and Joku are probably my three, kind of targets that I'm looking for. But I don't mind if you don't go for one of the studs early to find your cluster of tight ends later on. Whereas you don't need a cluster because you've got Kelsey. So you just take a flyer. I'm just curious with Fant. What are your thoughts on Fant going into this year? I actually like him. I think second year in that offense, yeah, people are worried about Disley, and he was one of three tight ends, and
Parkinson, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Kobe Parkinson.
I'm curious to know what you think about the Seattle tight end.
Yeah, Noah Fant is one of those elite, elite athletes, former first round pick, and I think that he will. When you have guys who had been established in that offense for a long time, like the Will Disleys of the world, like Disley isn't going to go away right away is the issue with Fant year one. Like, we were hoping that he would do well, but we've seen a massive upside for Noah Fant. Back in 2021, there were multiple instances where he was the tight end one overall in a particular week. So he was winning weeks for you in fantasy. Not just because of his like one big touchdown, that's going to get you there, but his athleticism and his ability to command targets. And I think that you're right. That athleticism is going to be more likely to rear itself. I mean, are you going to take Noah Fant or, one of the unknown rookie tight ends? Maybe, I think that Fant offers more known upside on an offense that, yeah, it's going to be Lockett, it's going to be DK Metcalf, but there's no third wide receiver there.
And he's going off as the tight end what off this board. They don't show, right? Like which tight end?
That's one of the things we should tell drafters is to label.
Because if you look at what he's done, he's never been worse than a tight end two. Like, he finishes tight end 23 in 2022 and 2019
and as
a
floor.
Finished as 2023 or as the tight end 23, and then he was a tight end 11 and tight end 12. And I'm looking fantasy points per game. I'm not looking at total. So I mean, you could see that he's got that tight end one potential, like you said, because of the athleticism. I think where he's going right now in drafts, he could be a steal.
Yeah, I like him. Like, the types of upside tight ends at this spot, round 16 and beyond, we're talking Noah Fant, talking Jelani Woods, Isaiah Likely, Hunter Henry.
Don't forget Ferguson.
I know you love your Ferguson. You love your Ferguson.
and I don't mind Ertz either. Like I'm big on Trey McBride, but like in the last round to get a guy like Ertz, I mean, you know, if he does come back, and he was pretty solid when he was playing, he was a tight end one, I believe.
And I like Kincaid. I also like Tyler Conklin. Like I've I'll take an aside. I've texted Billy late into the evenings and early into the mornings, telling him that I'm watching Tyler Conklin film just by myself. And he's like, make sure that, never mind. but I love myself some Tyler Conklin. And yeah, this is a lot of fun. Talking these late round tight ends. So Noah Fant is one of them. Hopefully you didn't get too much grief there, GD.
No. I was like, I think I sent Akers and I don't remember, something like a fourth rounder for Fant and a 205 in tight end premium.
Okay. That, if you say so, JD, if you were happy with it.
It is what it is. It's one of those whatever trades. I'm not super pumped about it. I'm not disappointed about it. It's whatever. I wanted a pick and I'm not super sold on Akers. I wanted to buy him while his value was high.
All right, JD, this was a lot of fun. AJ Hernandez said this was a lot of fun. Popped his drafter's cherry in a
nice sense. There you
thanks
go.
For the promo code. Absolutely. And if y'all are just jumping in, we had a lot of fun drafting with JD tonight from the GOAT District on Drafters Fantasy. You can use the promo code BEST for an extra $20 in a first-time deposit on Drafters Fantasy. That gets you four free entries into this tournament. JD, it's been such a pleasure. Where can the people of the good Best Belt Fantasy YouTube podcast and live stream find your stuff and talk to us about the GOAT District?
Yeah, you can find the GOAT District on YouTube and Spotify visually in video format, and then on podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. We basically focus on best ball, dynasty, and redraft. We bring in a lot of high-stakes players. We focus a lot on the high-stakes tournaments, the high-stakes sites like the FFPC, the NFFC. And we bring in the biggest winners on the planet, big guys that have won millions of dollars playing fantasy, hundreds of thousands of dollars. We bring in the best analysts. You've been on our show. And we do a similar format in the sense that we're focusing on best ball. We do ballin', and we started doing ballin' live, which we're going to be doing on Sundays, probably, you know, for the whole off season. So check us out. If you're into fantasy football, there's really nothing we don't cover. And we've got about 2 to 4 shows a week on the channel right now. And check us out, man. We hopefully help you get an edge in whatever, you know, level that you're playing at or whatever format that you're playing in fantasy.
Yeah, I can attest to the great guests that the GOAT District is able to get on. And it's always a pleasure having you and the rest of the crew chatting fantasy, JD. So thanks for taking the time tonight drafting with me.
Thanks for having me, man. This was a blast.
This is awesome. All right, guys, until next time, on behalf of JD, I'm Bradley. Good luck in the best ball streets.
I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill. I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still. Best bill. I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still. I embrace all this risk, I'm insane.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.